Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. We're back with Real Life Mentoring Podcast. Today, we have a special guest. And so if I had one of those little machines that you press, what sounds would come up? It'd be a little drum roll, but we don't have one of those machines. So Chris, introduce our special guest.
Today, we have Kim Carey, who is my little sister. There were originally six kids in our family, and there we have five, and Kim is the youngest. So if you're the youngest child, you know some of the things you've been told and had to deal with.
So we thought today we would talk about some sibling perspective. You can grow up in the same home, have two different experiences, and so we're going to kind of walk through those and see what those experiences are. So Kim, you are the youngest of five, and Chris, you're the second of five. So what's the age gap between the two of you?
I think we determined 8 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Eight years.
Okay. So as we were talking a little bit yesterday, we don't necessarily have a script today for those of you who are listening, but what was it like growing up in a family of five from your perspective? So Chris, you want to start?
Well, five children.
Right. Okay. Five children.
So we grew up in a dysfunctional home, alcoholic father. We lived in poverty. And yet one of the things you said yesterday, Kimberly, that we seem to have really good attitudes and perspectives on life in spite of our circumstances, right?
Yes. Yes. We have a lot of laughter and really positive outlooks. All of us do that. So where do we get that from?
I think that's developed and grown over the years, I believe. Yeah, as we've left home and become adults. And so part of the reason we're doing this episode today is because as we teach people how to be effective mentors, relationships are a vital piece of our stories. And so if you have siblings, then those are really important relationships to look at. So it's nice to be able to sit down with you today and just process some of this together.
Yeah. And as we talk about that, we use the My Life, My Story tool. And part of the thing we always talk about is the past. Tell us about your past. And so today you're going to hear how that would really look like. Not that I'm mentoring either one of these, but unpacking your past is so important. So I wanted to jump in with one of the things you both said is, even though Chris, you were one of the older ones, and Kim, you were the baby, you both said you didn't feel like you had a voice or you weren't heard. So how did that, from your perspective, why'd you say that, Chris?
Well, I'd rather start off with Kim, because I'd never thought about that until you said that yesterday, mm-hmm. compared to how I viewed my situation. So tell us what you said yesterday on not having a voice.
Sure. So I think anyone out there that is the baby, as we are classified in a family, is that there's so many of you around that everyone's talking. Kids are talking at the table or whatever the situation might be. You kind of get your voice drowns out. You don't get to rise above everyone else that's talking, because they feel like they're older. They have the right to speak before you. And so a lot of times my mother would, you know, come in and say, now your sister's trying to say something. And then by that point I was like, you know, frustrated and mad. So it didn't really matter at that point, but that's what I had said yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And so as an older brother, our mom would say, your younger sister has a right to speak. And I'd say, I'm sorry, who are you talking about?
Right. And so goes my life.
Yeah.
And so when you said that, you said, well, you guys all had a voice and I didn't. I never felt like I had a voice. Even though I was doing a lot of talking, it was about just probably things that didn't matter, but things that mattered, I didn't feel like I had a voice. Does that make sense?
It does. But to me, from the youngest perspective, I always saw you in our family because you took on the role of our parent in a lot of ways. And so I always saw you as very you communicated with us a lot. You know, you disciplined us here and there, as you would as an older sibling. But, you know, I saw that as my figure. So I never thought of that from your perspective, that you never got to communicate or be a part of the conversation.
So when Chris, two facts people probably would be important to know. Your father was pretty much out of the picture. Your mom raised you guys by yourself, basically, until he officially left the house when you were 16, Chris. And Kim, you would have been how old at that point?
I guess eight.
I was in third grade.
Okay. So that makes a whole lot of sense that he was more like a parental figure. But Chris, where were you feeling like you weren't being heard, with your mom or dad?
Well, of course, we talked like around the dinner table or just taking care of aspects of life. But when I talk about being heard, we did not have a home atmosphere where you could talk about what your thoughts were, what your feelings were, what was going on inside. That was my perspective. Did you feel like you had that, Kim?
That you're right on. We didn't have that aspect in our home.
And so you were referring to, we're sitting around the table or we're watching TV or whatever we're doing, and we're all just talking, you know, just about whatever. But you felt like you got pushed aside as the youngest child.
Yes.
Yes. You know, of course, at that time, I didn't have the maturity to back up and look and say, hey, guys, let this little girl, our youngest, speak some. But no, I don't know that any of us really felt like we had a voice in our home growing up where you could just talk about your thoughts and feelings and your hopes and dreams, those kind of things. I don't remember those conversations happening.
No, I think it was more a matter of just day to day. You know, we just made it day to day. So we didn't have those conversations. And I think I did as I got older and the children started leaving home and it became more one-on-one with my mom and my brother Mark was still at home at the time. We had more of those opportunities, but even then it was very hit and miss of when they occurred.
You alluded to that. So Kim, yesterday you said, you know, one of my perspectives is I couldn't wait for the older kids to come home, because again, you're the baby. And Chris, you were like, really? I had no idea. So walk through those perspectives.
You mean coming home for holidays?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, at that point, three older ones had left, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm just thinking, well, I'm going home for the holiday. I mean, I had no idea that you couldn't wait for us to get there.
Because you probably couldn't wait to leave the house.
Well, no, I looked forward to coming home some. But something you said earlier, a minute ago, we lived in survival mode. And when you live in survival mode, it changes the way you view people and situations, I believe. So I'm away at college. I'd come home for a holiday. Okay, we have a holiday, and then I got to get back to my real life, if that makes sense. And when you live in survival mode, you learn to be very independent because you have to be. And so I had no idea that you were excited for us to come home. And I mean, I don't remember conversations us having. Do you? When
no.
I would come home?
No, it was just the fact that it was just you were home. I just really missed everyone. And when you guys would come home, I'd be so excited. I couldn't wait for it to happen. And then, you know, you guys were ready to get out of there and head back to your lives. And I remember I would just cry and cry. I'd be so sad. And Mom would be like, it's okay, you know. But it just was part of it. It's just I really enjoyed being part of a large family.
Well, I think it's a good reminder. So here we are, much older now than those years of that many years ago. But you can't imagine some things that your siblings are thinking and feeling unless you talk about it, right?
Right.
I wouldn't have known those things about you.
Well, since you said talk about it, it's a good lead in about you both have alluded to. There weren't real conversations. You were both in survival, or the whole family was in survival mode, which to your mom's defense, you're probably just thinking, okay, we're eating, but how am I going to pay tomorrow's rent or whatever? You're not thinking about, I wonder how everybody's really feeling about life. But you both said there weren't really conversations. And Kim, you said you really learned to have conversations outside of the home. So what? Talk to us about that.
All of my siblings and myself, we all started working very young, probably as soon as we could, 16, and really working in, you know, like a grocery store environment that I was in, and the others did that as well, really kind of brought me out of my shyness and taught me how to have conversations. And because even in school, you know, I had my school, but I was very shy in school, and I didn't really learn how to correctly have conversations. So, yeah, working environment really helped develop me in that way, and I think all of us. But also it was a means to an end to, you know, help provide. So you did what you had to do. I think it also helped us to, you know, it's interesting, we didn't have those conversations when we were younger, but as adults, we always maintained closeness, mm-hmm. and were able to come back together and have adult conversations, which I think is very unique for our family. And we have that, we've maintained that to this day.
Mm. Well, I want to clarify something. So you didn't start your first job till you were 16. Were you a late bloomer or something?
There were child labor laws by the time she came around.
I was 10, I think. It's time for you to get a real job and help support this family. No, I joke about that. So you were 16.
Yes.
Right? And that actually, as you said, it helped you in a few ways. You earned your own income, but you also learned how to communicate and connect with people, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Some things we didn't learn at home.
Yeah. One of the things you both brought up is, you know, there's 5 kids. There's 10 years between oldest and youngest. By the time you came around, you're trying to go through college and everything. And nobody gave you the ropes, like showed you the ropes. This is what you should do at 16 or after you graduate. So talk about that. You all never learned as siblings how to support one another. Because now, on the outside looking in, I see 5 really healthy adults who do support one another. But growing up, I think it has to do with that survival mode. Talk about that. Like Chris, as an older one, did you go, oh, wow, I should help my sister Kim navigate how to fill out paperwork for college? Or, yeah, that wasn't on your radar.
Isn't it? Not in the least. You know, I guess it was a mindset. Good luck to you.
No. I did it. You should.
Yeah, figure it out. No, that did not even cross my mind. And I think it's because when you grow up in a survival mode, you're just trying to get through things. And the idea of helping someone else below you, it did not even register. I made assumptions that you're good to go. And yet that's crazy, because if you haven't experienced something, you haven't experienced it and you need help.
Well, I think it talks to the idea that, you know, when you're talking about college, we were the first generation to do that. And so even our parents didn't know how to navigate all of that. Thankfully, the first one left the nest and went off and did that, or the rest of us may not have thought that was even a possibility. So, you know, Belinda going, and then you going, Chris, and then Lori, it just, you know, each of you left. I cried. You went off and had a good time. And you figured it out, but nobody carried it on to the next one. So honestly, it's a miracle we all figured it out and did that. Even the simplest things of finances, we never talked about that. Mm. We had to learn everything we did in school, or how to, you know, how do you write a check? Things like that. We didn't have that concept to have as part of our normal conversation to learn.
Well, you said you guys went away and had a good time. I don't remember it that way. I remember going away to college and going,
another survival story.
How do I do this? And how do I do this? And I never felt, how do I manage this situation? How do I handle the finances? How do I earn the money? How do I pay for college? I mean, it was always something. I don't remember it being a lot of fun. And so, unfortunately, our parents weren't able to give us support that way, not just financially, but even in good conversations to say, you know what, we're going to figure this out together. So I don't remember it being a lot of fun.
But, you know, talking about fun, you never came back and told me how it was as well. So how was I to know what you were doing and what you weren't doing? To me, it was like, oh, they got to go off and to college, and that's always fun. You know, you hear about it being so fun. Well, again, you guys didn't come back and share your experiences. You just kind of came back for the holidays and experienced it. And I listened to everything you had to say because it was so exciting to me. But it's just perspective. You remember, if you've got younger ones out there, you know, talk to them. And they want to be treated, you know, depending on what their age is. But they're people. They want to hear what's going on. They want to learn from you. And you're in a position where you can be a healthy contributor to what they are learning in this world.
And they're going to make their own mistakes, but they don't have to make all the mistakes that we did.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. Hey, look, I did this. Don't do this. For instance, here's an example. We qualified for, back then it was called a Pell Grant. Is it still called that?
Yes,
financial aid?
It is.
Because if you had a lower income, well, I qualified for quite a bit, and then I also qualified for school loans. So I decided to do that and then buy a brand new Mustang, and I still had 3 years of college to go. I thought, well, with my school loans and my financial aid from the government, I can have a nice car while I go to college. Now, I say that because that caused me a lot of pain and difficulty, the stress of paying for a Mustang when you're in college, insurance, upkeep, all those things. And it's things like that. I did not enjoy college as much. I was working so much. That may sound like a simple thing to some, but when you don't have a parental figure or an older sibling to say, look, let's really look at this before you make this decision. So again, you don't have to make all the same mistakes.
Well, and I think it's important to say that I joke around with my siblings that they all went off to college. None of them came back and told me how to do this. And so I had to become a college director of financial aid in order to help others out in the world.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's been your career.
That has been my career.
Well, I think it's important, too, to realize, would this have been different, A, if you weren't in poverty or survival mode all the time, but had you had parents to model that, hey, all the siblings are coming home, let's sit around the table and ask some questions, or hey, you don't know how to do this, why don't you contact your brother? I think when we have parents that model that or expect that siblings are going to help, but you didn't have that either. I mean, join the crowd, right? Probably a lot of people haven't had that, but I just think that's an important note.
There is no one directing the family, really.
No.
And when you're in survival mode, we've said that several times, you're trying to do that, you're trying to survive. So trying to direct conversations, to be intentional, to create moments and memories, I don't know that you even think that way when you're in the middle of survival.
God was the only thing that was a constant in our family. So if I look back and I think about the conversations we did have, or the places that we went, it always surrounded conversations about God, or we were at church, or we were at Bible study, or Bible camp. That was the one constant that I can say we all had.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's where mine came from, my hope, and any direction that I had.
It's interesting, you both had very different perspectives just with the parental figures. So, Chris, your parents officially divorced when you were 16, and then a couple of years later, you're out of the house. But there were other parental figures. You then, your stepdad, you had a very intense, good relationship. Looking back, you've wondered about that. But, Chris, you had zero relationship. So unpack that a little bit.
Zero relationship with
Jerry,
with a stepdad.
Yeah.
Our mom remarried when I was, I think, my senior year of college. So I remember going back to the house. It was his home for the first Thanksgiving that they were together. And it was very strange. And because I was an adult, had been away from home for a few years and never lived in the same town, our relationship was limited that way. Mm-hmm. But we had no, I don't remember any conversations that we ever had. Mm-hmm. And so I go, well, whose fault was that? Well, as a parental figure, it really is your responsibility to initiate it. And yet, I don't think he was taught how to do that himself. And so my expectation, I actually had no expectations, I don't think, with our stepdad. And so was a good man, but there was not a relationship for me. And mm-hmm. yet there was for Kimberly. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, very much so.
How old were you when he came into your life?
I was in a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
And so my brother Mark was also at home, and he was a senior.
Okay.
So, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time at home after that, after high school. But he provided stability in my life and a sense of security that we had never really had. Mm. And so it changed my perspective as a young adult versus my siblings and how I was able to move forward. But even then, I mean, there still wasn't that here's how you do things, but I did have a sense of security where I knew that if something happened, I could go to either my parents at that point and they would help me. Mm. And it was a sense of security for my mother as well and allowed her to rest her mind and worry of things that had always been part of our conversation.
That's an interesting, you may have gotten a different piece of your mom than the older siblings.
Very much so, I believe.
Mm. That makes sense because her mind, her soul was able to rest some knowing there was a husband of mine, a stepdad for my daughter and son who were still at home. He's helping provide for the family. There's a nice home to be in. I don't have to stress about basic things of life. So I can come down and just rest some. And then the real person is able to be seen more, right?
Yes.
When you're not so stressed.
Yes. The energy had changed from being a single parent household. But then again, you know, they jumped right into teenagers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a whole nother dynamic that we weren't as, you know, respectful to our parents as we should have been. And so, you know, at that point, I'm not really listening to what my mother is trying to tell me because of where I am in my years of growing up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it had to have been a new challenge for her of now we've got time, we can talk, but you don't want to. And so looking back, you know, I wish I had done things differently, as we all do, but it was just a different, I had the security that my siblings previously did not get to have.
I think it's remarkable. So you have five independent people kind of doing their own thing. And now as five grown adults, I think there's a closeness there. And there's no lack of conversation when you guys get together. Spend a little bit of time talking about what it's like now being adult siblings, and how is that different than when you were younger?
Well, it's interesting. I think if you can grow up in the same household, and again, we're 8 years difference in age. So I was out of the home pretty early on in your as you were growing up, but you actually kind of learn a lot about one another, things you didn't know about them when you were growing up. And it's because you have conversations, understanding each other's personalities and likes and dislikes.
It's really kind of funny when we all get together because it's like no time has passed with us, which is great. And we, you know, we have a text group that we communicate with regularly. Really, when we all get together, we find ourselves laughing a lot and we go into storytelling mode. And a lot of times they'll have stories that I don't know. Mm. I don't remember. And it's funny because they'll say, oh, and I'm still, you know, the baby, so I get to be made fun of the most in those stories usually. Or they're like, oh, you should have, you know, you remember when you did this? And I don't remember, but they're getting a laugh out of it, you know. So,
and for all you know, we just make these stories up and make you believe that they're
true. That's true. That's true. Probably the case. But we're very close and I'm very thankful. And I look around at people and, you know, my friends, my colleagues, you know, do they have that same kind of relationship? And it's, I think we're pretty unique in that way. And I really believe our foundation was set by our mother to believe in God. And that is our foundation. And that is what has pulled us all together through these years.
Yeah, it truly is.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah, what's really nice that we don't have to have, our relationships are not based in survival mode.
Right.
It's like, oh, I didn't know this about you, or man, you're really good at that, or you're gifted at that. Or, I mean, we laugh about this, but we have music, our love of music in common, you know?
Yes.
And one of the things that we love to do is we'll sing in the car or whatever, a fun song from the 70s comes on. And you and I discovered in the last few years that we also do the instruments.
We're very talented.
Yeah, with our voices. Like, you know, you have the lyrics, and then it's just like a solo. Our mouths start doing the instruments as
Chris
well.
Chris is doing the drums. I'm doing the cymbal. It's, you know, remarkable.
But my daughter does that, the youngest one especially. So there's a family dynamic. Again, things you go, I didn't know you did that. You know, and so it is really nice. And don't misunderstand, guys, as listeners, there are five of us, and we live in five different states. And so I want to tell you, you can grow in your relationships, even if you didn't have that growing up. You can get to know your siblings better if everyone's open to it. You know, and you go, well, you don't understand my situation. We had a tough situation. Mm-hmm. And yet, we live in five different states, and it's how intentional you are in your conversations now. And you make it a point to get together and to talk. That's what builds these relationships with people you grew up with that you maybe didn't know so well.
And it takes being a listener. We all take turns going through heavy things in our lives, but we know that the other ones are out there to listen to us, to pray for us, and we're not afraid to say, hey, this is what I need today. And we're willing to do that for the other as they present it to us. So it's, you just got to be open to stepping forward that first time and asking, can you listen to me and what's going on? And if you have any advice, or maybe I don't need advice, I just need someone to listen. Mm. I know they're there. Maybe that's what you can do for your siblings as well.
Mm. For the listener who's going, wow, that is really sweet, but that's not my situation. I grew up in a dysfunctional home and I have no relationship with siblings. What's one piece of advice you guys would give?
Well, I think for siblings, it doesn't have to be a sibling. It can be a friend. that has become, that you've become closer to than maybe your own sister or brother, you can pray for them. You can ask for them to have conversation. It doesn't, if I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say here other than you just, sometimes you just have to ask. And if they won't, then find someone that you're close to in that way and just start the conversation.
Something I think of, this is not being critical of our mother, but once our mother passed away, that was about 3.5 years ago, about that, over time, our relationships became stronger.
Meaning all the siblings.
The siblings, because mom had a way of filtering things.
And yes,
we made assumptions about one another based on
what
mom said.
Yes.
It was, we didn't realize that was even happening, and it wasn't healthy. And, you know, she may have said something. I think, well, Kim, why did you do that or not take care of that? I'm thinking these things. And once we began to talk to one another, I go, wait a minute, that's not true. Now, why did our mom do that? That's a whole other podcast episode. But here's the thing. So how can that change for you? I'm not being critical, but maybe one of your parents or both are hindering your relationships as adult siblings. It could be that case.
That's a good point.
That was with us.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap up. Any closing thoughts, either one of you, about today's topic?
Well, here, okay, you are here with us this week, and this is in 2024, helping us with the business side development of our nonprofit. Go figure, someone you grew up with, you go, oh, in the future, they're going to help you in your own business with the skills and abilities and experiences they've been given. That's a really important thing. Your siblings may be, there may be a lot of, there may be some jewels inside your siblings to help you in some way. So don't overlook that either. And just spending time together is really important.
Great.
It goes on along with that is, you know, look for the unique talents that your siblings have, because maybe that is where you can start the conversation. If you're having trouble getting that communication going, what do they like to do? What, you know, look at their career. They're always going to want to know, they can always talk about that. So maybe you start with one point of, you know, something like that, their career, and then you go from there. It just builds.
That's good.
That's a good point. I remember a few years ago, I said, hey, we should talk about our childhood. And you said, like, I don't think so. Because you weren't ready for that.
No.
But as we've gotten to know each other better as adults, you're so open to doing that now. So yeah, maybe you do it like you would a stranger or someone on the job. You begin at a topic, a subject that's not so...
Trauma-inducing
or threatening. You say, oh, no, I can talk about that. And you build from there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being candid and open and honest. And I hope if you're listening, you take a look at your own sibling relationships and what it could be like. If today's been helpful, if you would like and subscribe, share this with your siblings. And we do want to make a special note that today has been brought by Commercial Brick. Commercial Brick is a family-owned company. They're passionate about what they do and are dedicated to making quality brick products. If you want more information, check them out at commercialbrick.com. Thank you, as always, for listening.